God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord, over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Friend of mine, God's love for you is so special. He knows you so intimately as if you were the only person on this planet for whom he gave his Son to die. He never gets your prayers mixed up with anybody else. He never forces you to obey him. He says, if you love me for the sacrifice I've made, if you love me, then you will obey me. If you love me, you will believe my word. And friend of mine, no one can psych you into being a Christian. No one can scare you into being a Christian. No one can bribe you into being a Christian. It has to be conscious, deliberate, voluntary decision that you make to let Jesus be Savior and Lord of your life. Do it today if you have not done it. If you have done it before, do it anew today to the glory of his name. This is the broadcast. Think it over.
Lord, when there's nothing else we can depend on, how good it is to know that we can depend on you. You've been our counselor when there was no one we could talk to. You've loved us through all the passages of our lives. You've given us wisdom to teach our children, strength to face the hard times, and joy all along the journey. We've learned that when things seem impossible, you're always up to something in our lives. That something is eternal, and it's for our good. You truly have been our hiding place through all generations.
Oh,
Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now give me grace to trust you more.
And this is the broadcast, Think It Over. It's a real privilege to have in the studio with us today Mrs. Lakeisha Williams, the Vice Principal of Oakwood Adventist Academy, Mrs. Nanette Joyner Presley, Science Teacher at Oakwood Adventist Academy, Mr. Daniel Ortiz, ninth grade student who's done well in the region and the state, and Mr. Wayne Buckner, 11th grade student, Mr. Brian Dublin, and Mr. Jeremiah Davis. It's a privilege having you, each of you here today. And Mrs. Williams, I'd like to just to ask you, I understand you're culminating your first year in this position. Would you share with us what you may have on your heart?
Elder Kelly, it's interesting. At the beginning of the school year, I had the awesome opportunity to meet with you in this capacity. And at that time, I was fresh in the position and just not really knowing what to expect. And when I think back on the year, I just feel just overwhelmed with the blessings of God and the things that I've seen Him do in that time. I've watched Him grow our students on a spiritual level. I've watched Him grow our students on an academic level. He's grown them physically, emotionally, socially. They're just really developing, and it was just such a privilege to watch that process. And then I also saw God bless our school. We are greatly anticipating the completion of a new high school building. Hopefully we will be in that building by the end or the beginning of the school year after next. And so God has just been so good, and I'm just overwhelmed with what He has done, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. Thank you so much for ensuring that we have a platform to share with the world what God is doing.
Absolutely. We thank you so much. And Mrs. Williams is married to Dr. Toussaint Williams, who is associate pastor at the Oakwood University Church. They together have two sons. And Mrs. Nanetta Joyner Presley, could you share with us, you're the science teacher at Oakwood Adventist Academy. How many years have you served in this position?
Over 25 years.
Marvelous. And your students have continued their education and professional pursuits to become successful scientists, doctors, and researchers. And you are the mother of two and a proud grandmother. I understand we have one young man here today, a ninth grade student at Oakwood Adventist Academy. He was a local, regional, and state science fair winner in this year's science fair. Mr. Wayne Buckner, 11th grade student at Oakwood Adventist Academy. This was his second time going to the regional science fair. He won honorable mention award. Mr. Brian Dublin, 11th grade student at Oakwood Adventist Academy. This was his third time going to the regional science fair and his second time going to the state fair. Mr. Jeremiah Davis, 11th grade student at Oakwood Adventist Academy. This is his third year making it to the regional level and his second year advancing to the state level in the science fair. He received awards from NASA, Navy, and Alpha Kappa Alpha. It's just a privilege having this group with me. So I'm going to start with Mr. Daniel Ortiz. Can tell me a little bit about yourself, please.
Hello, everyone. Mr. Pastor Kelly, I am Daniel Ortiz. I'm a ninth grader in Oakwood Adventist Academy. This has been my first year here, and as you already stated, I am a local, regional, and state winner in the science fair.
Well, we're glad to have you. And what has been your experience here at Oakwood Adventist Academy this year?
Well, it has been pretty good. You see, the experience here has been very God-focused. The activities were very, very academically challenging, such as the science fair.
Mm-hmm. Now, could you just share with me a little bit, what was the title of your science project?
My title of the science project was pre-soaking seeds in liquids with different pHs and how it affects the germination rate.
Mm-hmm. And could you just share with us what was the project about?
Well, the way the project works was you take bean seeds and then you put it in different liquids with different pHs.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you leave them pre-soak for a certain amount of time. I did free trials for three different times. And then after you do that, you put them on this tray and then you water them each time. And then you see how the germination has progressed over a week.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. We're just so glad that you have been successful in sharing that. And I'm just going to speak now with Mr. Wayne Buckner, 11th grade student at Oakwood. This is his second time going to the Regional Science Fair, and he won Honorable Mention Award. Mr. Buckner, can you share with us, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience at Oakwood Adventist Academy, if you will, please.
Well, like you said, this is my third year at Oakwood Adventist Academy. This has been my only school for my high school career. Like you said, I won honorable mention in the regional science fair. It was a very interesting experience. I did enjoy it. I think overall it's a very good school. I've been there my whole life, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes. What was your title of your science project?
My title was, "What is the most prevalent and dramatic effects of overpopulation and resource depletion?"
Well, what was that project about? It sounds interesting just to hear you describe it.
Yes, it is pretty interesting. I actually did it in an interesting way.
Uh-huh.
I took 15 participants, and I used the game of musical chairs, because what happens in musical chairs? We take chairs away, and eventually one person who survives the game becomes the winner. The chairs being the depletion of resources, and the human the participants being used are the humans that need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So we had three trials. One trial, it was a normal game, took one chair away each time. The second trial, we took two chairs away each time. And the third trial, we took five chairs away each time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just compared the differences between the first, third, and second game. I will say that the most interesting part was the difference between the first and third. The first game, we had just a normal round, normal levels of hostility between players. And the third game, you had people jumping over each other, trying to get to the other type of chairs. It was very fun to watch, I will say. But overall, I did also enjoy that project.
Well, that's interesting. Could you share with us, can this particular project be expanded?
Yes, it can. When I was thinking about it, I was thinking I could just take the chairs away and use a resource that we need today, like food, because we all need food to live. I could set different amounts of food in different places, see how humans would react. I could also use a different vertebrae together. I could use fish. I could use different things that I would be allowed to use.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really sounds very interesting. And I'd like to ask now Mr. Brian Dublin, 11th grade student at Oakwood Adventist Academy. This was his third time going to the Regional Science Fair and his second time going to the State Science Fair. Could you share with us about your particular project, sir?
So my project, I was dealing with wind turbines. I've been doing a continuation project for the last 4 years dealing with wind turbines and trying to improve it to help our society and help our ecosystem. So this year I did my project on, does the size of the generator affect the energy output of a wind turbine? So basically what I was testing was six different size generators, if they were all going to perform with the same results as the other one, or if not, which one would be the best for harnessing wind energy. So the reason, main reason I did this project is because sooner or later we're either going to run out of non-renewable energy sources, or we're going to be using them so much that we end up damaging this ecosystem where we can't use them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the best way is if we use more renewable energy sources like wind, solar, or water, which are always there and would never deplete, and they're also free. They're always going to be there for us to use. So we're just harnessing what God already gave us, and which isn't damaging any ecosystem, isn't damaging ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty much what I did my project on this year.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, this is the first time you were participating in the regional science fair?
No, actually, I've participated in regionals four times. Starting with eighth grade to now, I've made it to regionals. And I've made it to state two of those four times, whereas one of those two times to state, I became a potential participation. I was a person, potential candidate to make it to internationals.
Praise the Lord. I now want to speak with Mr. Jeremiah Davis, 11th grade student at Oakwood Adventist Academy. This is his third year, making it to the regional level, and the second year advancing to the state level in the science fair. He also received awards from NASA, Navy, and Alpha Kappa Alpha. Tell us about your projects, Mr. Davis.
Well, my project was titled, Does Adding Nozzles to a Solid Rocket Motor Improve or Decrease the Performance of the Motor Itself? So this is actual rocket science that I did in this
mm-hmm.
project. And a little simplified version is that by making everything by myself, everything that I used in this project was homemade. I constructed everything for myself, by myself. And I was testing to see if increasing how many nozzles were placed onto the motor, if it would increase the thrust performance that would be output during the test of the motor. So I would drill a nozzle into each of the motors, and I went up to about three nozzles into a motor. And in turn, it actually did not improve the performance because it was letting out too much gas, and it was not as efficient as a standard motor is.
Mm-hmm. So, what was the most interesting part of the project?
Well, for me personally, the most interesting part was the actual experimentation
mm-hmm.
of the experiment, to see how visually the motor acted during the test, and to see how the motor burned and how fast it burned or how quickly it burned, or just seeing how it reacted with the changes that it was put under.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is interesting. I'd like to ask each of you, even though I may be saying it in the wrong way, what did you gain by associating with other young people who were in the science area? And that's not a question on here. This came to my mind that I need to talk to you, brethren. What did you gain, Mr. Daniel, by associating with other young people who were in science?
Well, I gained quite a bit of knowledge. Like I saw, for example, a lot of interesting projects of like the Rubik's Cube, how the AI was able to solve that, or like people preserving bone marrow. It was very interesting to see just like how many unique ideas like people can come up
mm-hmm.
with. So that's how I connected.
Wonderful. Mr. Buckner.
Well, like Mr. Otita said, iron sharpens iron. I liked talking to the people in my group.
Mm-hmm.
The people on my side of the table, we came together, we talked, we shared each other's ideas about the boards. We were like, oh, I like how you did this, I like how you did that, I like how mm-hmm. you put this on the specific side of your board. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about the people standing next to me. I feel like we had a good relationship there.
Wonderful. Mr. Dublin.
All right, so for when it comes to talking to the other participants, things I gained was first off a friendship, because people you're going to be standing next to, you don't know if you're going to see them the next year or the year after that when
mm-hmm.
you compete. So it's always good to have a friend there, so if y'all do sue each other and you don't know anyone else, you have someone to talk to
mm-hmm.
or someone to help you through it. So for instance, I can stand next to someone and I'll chat, I'll get to know them, and then I'll get a judge, and then I'll say some stuff, and then the judge will critique me on a little bit of something, And then my companion, the person I was talking to, when their judge is gone, we could talk and we could help each other out and mm-hmm. to say what to say and what not to say to the next judge. And if something's like messed up on our board, we could point it out before the judges get here and we could say, hey, mm-hmm. you might want to fix this. This will help later on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're pretty much stepping stones for each other.
Wonderful. And Mr. Davis?
Personally, in my experiences in the previous science fairs, I have actually made quite a few friends with the people that were around me, mm-hmm. not even only in my section, just the people who attended the science fair, both at the regional and the state level. I've had several friends that I ended up at camps with afterwards or programs with afterwards that you're able to make friends with and, you know, just to see the level of intelligence, not only in this city of Huntsville alone, but in this entire state mm-hmm. and even in this country, just the young people and how we're bringing each other up and how we can learn from each other. And mm-hmm. just it by getting to know the people around you and talking to them, even mm-hmm. when you have time in between the judging, it kind of lightens the atmosphere so mm-hmm. that you're not as nervous. You can speak well. You can mm-hmm. also do that. And you also, as my friends have said, you can critique each other so that you all can grow upon what you've already done. Mm-hmm. And so that was my personal experience.
That's wonderful. You get a whole world concept, not just the local or, you know, in right there, one or two places. You get in a world view. And that's wonderful. I'm just grateful. Now, how did you come out with your nice uniforms? Did anyone make any comments about your uniform?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when we got to the regional science fair back in March, there was a young lady that came up and was like, "I really want to get a picture of you all. Like, I want to take the picture for you because you all look so good." And it really set a pace for representation, recognition. Mm-hmm. You really get a lot of attention with our uniform.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel, Mr. Dublin?
The way I felt when it came to our uniforms, with our uniforms, we stood out. So we were at, like, the big school. When people, we were one of the, I think, three schools that were actually in uniforms, and out of those three, we were the only one with the actual blazers.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like to the judges, we looked professional. Like, we looked like we were down to business. Like, we knew what we're talking about and were ready to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I feel like our uniform actually helped us in a way. So we got more judges to come look at us. We had more chances to impress the judges because we already have the looks, and we're like, okay, y'all look intelligent. So mm-hmm. now let me hear your intelligence as well. So yes, I feel like our uniforms actually bumped up the way the judges looked at us.
Mr. Buckner?
So for the people who are listening right now, when you mentioned uniforms, I'm pretty sure all of us started smiling or chuckling to ourselves because it's exactly what my friends have said. It looked like we meant business. It looked like we came here to do something and come out on top,
mm-hmm.
Which gives a lot of confidence.
Yes.
I like how I can put this on and people honestly like automatically respect me and know that I mean what I mean.
Yes.
And, I like the confidence that comes with the blazer and the tie and the Oxford shirt.
Wonderful. Mr. Ortiz, how are you? How about you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, the uniform, it just kind of had a unity between all of us. Like my friend said about the judges and the sponsor that took a picture of us. Like, it showed us that we're all, like, connected, and, like, we're kind of, like, one big family, and so we kind of, like, showed that through our uniform, and also mm-hmm. our uniform made us look very presentable, and mm-hmm. so many people could see that, oh, we want to present this very well, and mm-hmm. that we care about this. So.
Yes.
I do want to add the sense of pride that the uniform can bring us, even though everyone may not agree that we like the uniform sometimes, but we can all agree that we are proud to wear this uniform. And that evening at the award ceremony, when they would call us on the stage to receive our awards, we start a few friends and I started a joke called the Green Wave because of our green blazers. And every time we went on the stage, you could tell we stood out. We were in front. And you could tell that this school was a school of intelligence.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what about Mrs. Presley and Mrs. Williams? How did you perceive the same about the uniforms?
Well, I was very excited about it because they stood out and they got complimented before they could even walk in We had people coming up, oh, they look so good. And they took the camera and they said, can we take pictures? And there were people that even at the award ceremony, they said, wow, they look so good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really said a lot. It kind of reminds me of the three Hebrew boys
mm-hmm.
when they stood out because they did what was right.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents sent them to the school, and so they become a peculiar people.
Yes, yes.
But this a good peculiar.
Right, right.
And so I was very proud of them. Every time we saw the green jackets, it was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a story from the regionals. I take pictures to send out in the newsletter, and so I sat on the front row and just, you know, started to take pictures, and there was a lady sitting behind me, and she could tell that I was taking specific pictures of the kids in the green blazers, and so she tapped me, and she said, what school are you guys from? And I told her what school, and she said, oh my goodness, you guys are doing big things over there. Your kids, this is just amazing. And for me, I feel like our blazers, they stand out. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, the kids, they're like, oh, green blazers, do I have to wear that? But when we're together as a group, like Daniel said, it unifies us. Mm-hmm. And it helps people to see that we are a family. And it sets a buzz in the community. Just this week, I got a call from an administrator at another school asking me questions about how we do our dress policy, how we do different other rules and things like that. So people begin to respect our school as an authority or a figure to model after. And so I just really was proud of the students, and definitely it is something that we will do from year to year just to make sure, and eventually it will just be known. When we walk into a mall or when we walk into a store or when we walk into the regional in the States, that's Oakwood Adventist Academy, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited about that.
I'd like to add something else to that. Recently, a lot of our, since we're 11th graders, a lot of us in our class are looking for jobs. Mm-hmm. And what happened with a lot of people, when they went for their interviews, a lot of them went either after school or around the school time where they were still in their uniform and blazers. So a lot of our student classmates have went to their job interview in our Oakland uniform. And then what happens is the people first like to compliment on how good you look in our uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And then majority of the people that went in their uniform got the interview later on the next mm-hmm. few weeks and then end up getting the job.
Mm-hmm.
So our blazers are really representing us. Like, a lot of people will talk about how in the store they'll get compliments about how they dress, or they'll get questions about what school do you go to? Oh, you look nice. So things like that. Our blazer really helps us more than just in school. It helps us with out of school activities mm-hmm. as well.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I need to ask you about the scientific method. I'd like to know about that. I see that you deal with the scientific method now. I don't know, should I ask each one about the scientific method, or who wants to speak first? It doesn't make any difference. I would rather just let you speak how you feel most comfortable.
Well, the scientific method is a process where you find a problem, and it's the steps you take to realize the effects of the problem and the results that can change the problem and improve it, or things that would have actually caused the problem. So you'll usually start out by identifying what the problem is. You at least can identify and see what it is. You go through a hypothesis step where you figure out what steps you can take to change it or to affect it, what things will change it, and then you'll make a plan of the materials you'll use to see how you'll affect that process and the environment that it'll be in so that you can affect it, so you make sure that your results are applicable. And after collecting those materials and making the plan of how you're going to experiment that, then you'll do the actual experimentation, which is the physical process of discovering what one thing does to another and how those things interact with each other. And then in the process of the experimentation, you collect data to bring out your results that'll show what you changed and what that did to what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And in turn, that'll bring out a conclusion of did this work, did this not work, and even how this can be applied to other points in life. And the scientific method actually, though it's specifically scientific method and it can be in an academic level of sense, you can actually apply that to outside life. You can apply that to every day. You see a problem and this is how we need to fix it. This is what we can do to fix it. let's fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply that too.
Now, Mr. Dublin and Mr. Buckner and Mr. Orton, did each of you use this method with your project?
Yes. For my project, first thing I did was observe. I looked out in our environment. What is the main problem now? One of the biggest problems is dealing with the ecosystem and how we're damaging it. So first I observed, and I realized, well, as we can see, if this is one of the biggest issues, why don't we try to make it better? Why don't we try to improve the situation? So I chose a specific thing that would help drastically improve our environment. So I chose the wind turbine and I observed it. I looked the problem. I stated my problem. I gave a hypothesis on how I'm trying to fix it, how I feel this would work. I get my materials and I get the methods. So I decide, as he said, I write out a plan, how I'm going to fix this, what I try to achieve by fixing this, mm-hmm. and why, how is this going to help us. So I figure all that out, then I do the experimental part, get my results, publish my results to help so other people can use it as well for their also questions. Because for my project, after I did my science fair project, I actually got questions afterwards because people were also looking to the renewable energy field, mm-hmm. trying to set up like solar panels or wind turbines for their housing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I also did his same method before I was able to do the actual project.
And Mr. Buckner, you know, I'm coming to you, so just share with me.
Yes, I did use the scientific method. My friend Brian, who's just spoken, he looked outside for a type of project. For me, I looked inside. Sometimes you can find a project anywhere. If not most of you, then all of you know that my mom is a psychologist. She studies human behavior. She studies why we do what we do. Why do I feel what I feel? And that's kind of so I reached inside of myself to find a project that I could do and I could actually be comfortable working in. I'd like to say this too. Sometimes, and Ms. Presley tells us this all the time, you can never have a conclusion that is completely wrong. There are times when you have to say, the conclusion, my hypothesis was not supported, because sometimes someone can do the same project and the hypothesis can be supported. And that's something that's great about these projects. Another person can do it and find different results. So it really comes down to you. You do it. You go and make the difference. Yes.
That's wonderful. Mr. Ortiz, how about you?
Yes, I most definitely use the scientific method because, you see, so there's this very popular farmer's trick where they take seeds and then they pre-soak them in liquids. And then they'll germinate it, and that'll help the seed germinate better. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, okay, so what liquid of the pH would be the best one that produces the most reliable germination rate?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I started with that question, then I came up with a hypothesis of maybe it's acid the best, and then I started looking more into it. And then once I looked more into it, doing the experiment which I described earlier, I realized, oh, it turns out water is the best. And the reason why water is the best is because it helps hydrate the seed more, which is what, you know, that's why God made water. He made it so he could sustain life and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. that's why water did the best.
Well, I'm just grateful about that scientific project. And I think it's very, very, very interesting. Mrs. Presley, you teach all of your students about the scientific method?
Yes, we do. In grades 5 through 11, we all were involved in the scientific method of teaching. We had help from the university, from Dr. Vanderpool and her students, and we made sure that the projects were very good as far as research and the scientific method. And then that's how they went to the local level, and we had our fair on the 7th of February, and then we had a number to go on to the regionals, and we had 11 of those went on to the Alabama Science and Engineering Fair, and they were at the University of Alabama. And you can see this is just a sampling of mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. we did for the Academy. Mm-hmm. We had all kinds of awards to come out of this. The category awards range from first place to honorable mention, monetary awards, scholarships to the University of Alabama, Army, Navy awards, microbiology awards, grand awards for the whole fair, the best in show for the whole fair. Two of our students qualified to advance to the Broadcom Masters, Math and Applied Sciences, which is the junior national science competition. This meant that they will be in the top 10% of all students in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's very exciting because our students have not only won at the local, but the regional and also the state. We've had people to go to the nationals, and we've had people to go to the internationals,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has been so good to us, mm-hmm. that he's moved us up a little higher and a little higher because we do what he says in Proverbs 22 that says, train up a child in, mm-hmm. the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Mm-hmm. And he will make those paths clear and clear, and the brain becomes clearer and clearer as we do what God claimed, asked us to do. And so I challenge the parents out there to try the Lord. Put them in church school, mm-hmm. and see what the Lord can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way she mentioned that we're building a 9 through 12 building,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to have a state-of-the-art science labs in it. And God is so good. If he can do this with the building that we have right now, mm-hmm. he can do marvelous things. And I thank the Lord for the churches and the community that has supported all these, mm-hmm. young people. I'm so proud of them.
Well, what's so interesting to me about you gentlemen and all that you're doing is that this is teaching you to think.
Yes.
And in a world like we have today, there are hundreds and thousands of theories and things all on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to use your mind.
Yes.
You can't just allow people just to come in and say anything to you and you believe it, no matter how pretty it looks on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just grateful that you're learning to use your minds, you know, even with your friends. Thank you for staying tuned. Our guests today on the broadcast, Think It Over, are from Oakwood Adventist Academy. We have the vice principal, Mrs. Lakeisha Williams. We have the science teacher, Mrs. Nanetta Joyner Presley. And we have Mr. Daniel Ortiz, Mr. Wayne Buckner, Mr. Brian Dublin, and Mr. Jeremiah Davis. It's a privilege having each of them in the studio with us today. We've been talking about their attendance at the science fair, the local, the regional and the state science fair. We talked also about the fact that their uniforms did cause a great deal of interest, and we are so grateful also for them learning to be thinkers, you know, seeing a problem, dealing with it, cause to effect. What a blessing it is to have them being taught that way, and we just want to encourage you to put Adventist education on your list. Please invest in your young people so that they can be taught to be thinkers, because today you must be a thinker. I've heard so many half-truths, so many untruths,
mm-hmm.
that you have to be able to know what you are listening to, because some of them, they make it sound so good, but it's a half-truth, you know. So I'm just grateful that each of you are participating in that line. And before our time runs out, I'd just like to ask you a question. How did you see God in your experience, in your project? And I'll let either one of you go first. I won't just pick one. I'll just say each one like to speak first. How did you see God in your experience? And when you think about God, you're not thinking about, I'm thinking about how great he is. I'm thinking about the universe. I'm not just thinking about Huntsville and, you know, America. I'm thinking about the universe, because I'm tired of flying around this little globe. I want to go out into space, you know, when I think about it, you know. How many billions of suns and stars in this one, in the Milky Way, you know. So how did you see God in your project that you did? Mr. Ortiz?
Yes, I saw God in like a very significant way when it came to the regional and state fair, because I was doing my project and I was thinking about Well, this project is pretty good, but it probably won't make it to regional and state. But then it ended up did making it to regional and state.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like very surprised, and I'm like, that's all God, man.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful. Good.
So I saw God in the intricacy of human behavior. Like I said, why do we do what we do?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel these type of emotions?
Mm-hmm.
These are all things God has implanted in us.
Yes.
And when I really think about it, I'm like, wow, you did an amazing job. You put everything in place on purpose for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just blows my mind that there are, there's so much intricacy inside of our bodies. There's so much intricacy outside of this solar system,
mm-hmm,
in the universe, so many stars, so many planets, so many other galaxies that we haven't even tapped into.
Yes.
So that just, it really just blows my mind that we serve a God that's that big.
Yes, yeah. Tremendous. Mr. Dublin, or Mr. Davis, either one, it does make a difference.
I'll go ahead and go. So the phrase that I use to show how God related with my project, strangely enough, is seeing success in failure, seeing success in mistakes. From the results that I got from my project were not the results that I wanted. My hypothesis was not supported. And as Wayne mentioned earlier in the show, you have to realize that even if your hypothesis is not supported, that is a result. That is something that you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that your mistakes do not define who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It is how you learn from them and how you grow from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you stay back and you let your mistakes define what you've done, you let how you failed and how you've not learned from something define who you are, you'll never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to learn that both from this project and in life on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that I had to open my eyes to see that my failure was my success,
mm-hmm,
and that my failure was something to learn from, and that I could grow from this, and that I could teach other people about the path that I had to take to get to where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mr. Dublin.
Okay, so the way I saw God in my experience in my project was speaking, since I was dealing with renewable energy sources, I had to deal with what God has created. I had to use the wind. And for the last year's project, I had to use water and solar. So without God, we wouldn't have wind, we wouldn't have light, we wouldn't have solar, and we wouldn't have water. So I had to use His creation in my project to help improve the way we care for His creation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was a partnership, for say. He gave me something that I used to help us take care of what He gave us to begin
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, easiest way we could all connect to each other. Daniel, he did his project with helping the earth, like trying to make the earth, like the plants grow better
mm-hmm.
or more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
I dealt with taking care of the outer side of the earth,
mm-hmm.
The ecosystem. Wayne, he did his on how us humans are going to use what God created us, mm-hmm. How we take care of His earth. And Jeremiah, how he did his with the outer space.
Mm-hmm.
So he did his on the atmosphere, the outer space of the earth. So he did his outside the earth. I did mine on the inside, and so did Wayne. Wayne did his, and then Daniel did his, literally dealing with directly touching the earth.
Well, that is just beautiful.
I would like to add on
sure.
to what was said. I also saw God in like the what I said earlier in the show about how the water. How, you know, God made it for the plants, and how, you know, how God used that for making, like, the plants germinate better in my project. I was just thinking about how, like, God said that He's the living water,
mm-hmm.
and I was just thinking about that, and I realized, man, that's crazy, like, how, like, God used the water to make the plants, like, very strong and well, and that's why God compared Himself to the living water, because just like the water, he's the one that keeps us going and make us strong. So.
Yes, yes, yes. I just want to ask you all, how do you see your science involvement in your future?
Okay, so the way I see my science, my studies affecting my future is because way in my future, I want to be a doctor, so I want to take care of human beings. More of a surgeon, but I'm not exactly sure on that part yet. So dealing with my project, if I'm taking care of the outside nature, which pollution is what's harming not just animals but us including,
mm-hmm.
if we lower the pollution rates, mm-hmm. Me being a doctor, I probably will still have to take care of patients, but at least it wouldn't be pollution. We have less deaths. We'll have less cancer-causing problems, mainly because if we cut down on our pollution, we'll still need doctors, but doctors wouldn't be out there for emergencies because we'll probably need, like, health checkups. But as long as pollution's not out there, our sicknesses would go way lower, and it'll just help us all in general.
Yes.
So, like, for a doctor, his purpose is to help humans stay healthy.
Yes.
My project is to help the environment stay healthy, which in turn help humans also stay healthy.
Absolutely.
So, as saying now, I'm a doctor for the environment and us as is now.
Beautiful.
For those who know me or for those who have gotten around, but for those who don't, I'm working towards a major in mechanical engineering during college, and I'm currently, as a junior, taking college courses, and I've just received my welding certification this past Tuesday, and by getting that certification, it'll allow me to work in the industry. I'm planning on welding rockets and, you know, just vehicles for spatial exploration in Florida and just for any space agency that is attempting to explore the universe and explore God's creation outside of this earth so that we can have a place where we can understand what God has given us. Mm-hmm. And I am, along with welding with mechanical engineering, I've welded a part of my project as a part of my class so that I can use it for both my class and for this project.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually impressive for a lot of people that I was able to do that at my age, and that you can involve what you do from these science fairs, both from the things you learn from this project, but also the involvement and the networking that you can do at the science fairs and learning the people around you and getting to know the students who are with you, and also in having a sort of a relationship with the judges as well. I would talk to some of the judges extensively about the project and would discover later on that they were workers from the Navy or the Air Force or from NASA, like direct workers who worked at those companies, and they give out internships and apprenticeships to students who are interested in those things because they want them to grow. Mm-hmm. And knowing that these science fairs not only are a way for you to learn, for a way for people to come and get you and take you where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Buckner?
Well, unlike my two friends here, this is behavioral science is not what I wanted to go into, but I do find these things extremely interesting. Like I said before, why do we do these type of things? Why do we do what we have to do? Which is kind of interesting because it does tie in at least a little bit to what I want to do. When I grew up, I want to be a professional actor. You may be wondering why. What does that have to do with anything? But behind the scenes, there's a lot of study that goes into acting. We have to analyze what people do because we have to be relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to study why do people do this, why do people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I find it interesting because it kind of ties into my type of field.
Very good. Mr. Ortiz, how about you?
Well, for me, it can be used to further establish helping the environment because I'll be helping plants.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like something the environment desperately needs. And this applies to my future because so this won't be my main job, but it'll be like my lifestyle. I'll live on a rural farm, and I'll be like a farmer. And so what happens is, like, you see, the reason why I want to be a farmer is because I want to live like a lifestyle that helps the planet, that's good for the planet, that kind of thing. And it just kind of reminds me how, ever since the beginning of time, God gave us dominion over the earth, so we can take care of the environment and stuff and all that stuff. And I was thinking, wow, that's amazing. And so that's how this applies to my future.
Well, I'm just grateful that I look at my time, and I'm just grateful that you came and shared with us today. It's a real privilege. And I'm sure that some of the listeners will get in touch with your school and get in touch with some of you, because people listen. Every time I go out to California to visit, there are about three fellas in the church where I go to church out there at the Breath of Life who work in Hollywood. You know, so,
well, okay.
I'm just saying, again, that's what you call networking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you must always network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know everything, but somebody sitting next to you might know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And I've seen doors open for people that didn't even know that by being nice to this person, they had went all the way up to another person. There's a young man right now, he went to a party with his mother of these car executives. And the man, the president of the organization came in and introduced, he wanted to know who this young man was. The young man was not even a part of the program. But now he's working at this institution now. As a, he graduated from college and now he's working in that place. You need to network. And don't just network with people of your ethnic background. And everybody, you know. And it makes life so much more interesting, you know. So I, our time is going on, but I'm going to ask Mrs. Presley and Mrs. Williams if they would say some words before I have to close out the broadcast. I've enjoyed each of you. It's a privilege having you here.
Thank you.
We are very thankful for this opportunity today. And I thank the Lord for you, Elder Kelly, being a church school teacher at one point. And I appreciate that you open the doors for these young people at least once a week, which means you still give back. And I just like to say that God is good. We're so proud of what they have done as Oakwood Adventist Academy, and I just like to praise His name today.
Amen. Amen. Mrs. Williams?
Just sitting here looking at the young men as they talk, I am a mother of two sons, and I'm just in awe of the young men that sit before me. To the point that as they talked, it brought tears to my eyes to think that God has is building such strong young men to put into the world. It is the mission that God gave us as educators, as Christians, to do this. And I'm literally watching before my eyes. I'm watching that happen. And I'm so proud of them. And Elder Kelly, this is just a small representation of what God has given us at the Academy. Our students are absolutely brilliant. And then their ability to take academic information and apply it practically to real life situations causes them to be a step above many. And so, again, I'm in awe. I'm humbled at the opportunity to be able to say that I'm working with a future rocket scientist. I'm working with a future actor, a future surgeon, a future farmer, and God knows how many other things Daniel will do. But to me, it's just an honor to say that I'm a part of that process. And so I'm thankful to the young men that are here. And again, Elder Kelly, I just really appreciate you making sure to continue to allow a platform for the Academy to showcase what God is doing in our school. Thank you again for this opportunity.
Well, you see, my mother put me on a train in 1945 and sent me to Oakwood Academy. And those were before civil rights. So I'm a graduate of Oakwood Academy. I wasn't a great student because I had some other issues because we had to work 2 hours every day, manual labor. I drove mules right in the field out here, you know. So I'm just saying Oakwood Academy is in my DNA. Amen. And the reason I go up there and open the door for you all is because I want to see each of you in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you can really explore your mental abilities.
Yeah.
You know. See, I like music too, you know. And I know that there's more than 88 sounds. I know that.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay? So whatever you're doing now is just, you know, on the surface of what you're going to do. Because we're going to continue to grow, continue to develop mentally, spiritually, physically, socially. And there are some beings in other worlds. I'd like to meet them. I don't know what they look like, but I know they're out there, you know. So I just want to say thank you, and our time is just about gone. And I just thank you so much for coming, and continue to come back. I've invited them, you all, more often, more than this, but I thank God for what I get.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? I thank God for what I get. And it's a privilege opening the door for you in the morning. It's not show. I just want to encourage each of you to be all that you can be.
Yeah.
That's
Thank
all.
You.
I want to show respect to you all the time.
Yeah.
And so God bless you. And so, Mr. Buckner, you're the chaplain, right?
Yes. Yeah,
So therefore, you may begin. And you may pray for us. If you will, please, we'd appreciate it.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us very, very well. Thank you for giving us the ability to think. Thank you for giving us all of our talents, all of our abilities that we can use to give glory to your name. Please bless us and keep us as we go throughout our different intricate lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, gentlemen and ladies. It's a privilege having you. And remember, we never close a broadcast without saying the true object of life is ministry. That's the purpose. We're not here to get, we're here to give. Because Jesus loves us. We don't need to look for love. We are already loved. We should look for other people to love and let them know how much God loves them. And I just pray, God, that this week, that you will use your speech to encourage people. That you'll use your money to help people. That you'll use your time to do something good for people. They don't have to love you. You just need to love them to be like our Savior. And so, until next time.